from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Lebanese on X at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good. Well, except my AC's out upstairs.
That's not good. Well, stay downstairs then.
That's the point. That's exactly it.
There's ways around that, you know?
There are ways around it, and the way is to stay downstairs. That's exactly
yes.
Right.
Speaking of staying downstairs, there's nowhere to go upstairs at the Liberty Bowl at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium anymore.
The upstairs is gone.
The press box came down.
Yeah, that was dramatic. That was really dramatic. And oddly sentimental. I didn't expect to be, because it's not been a particularly beautiful or celebrated press box or anything.
No.
But it's the first real boom that we've had connected with this project. And
yeah.
So there seemed to be a finality to it. do you have a complete sense that middle slab now, right, up the upon which the press box perched, is that now going to remain there as is? That's your understanding?
I think they're still going to take out part of it, because there's going to be way less seats on that side of the stadium.
But they're doing that before the season still. They're going to chop down that.
I am not. I could ask somebody. I'm not fully understand. I don't know.
Well, the damnedest thing too is that it's harder to no anymore. Like, I might text Jeff Crane, but he's gone,
you know? Right.
And Ed Scott hasn't really entered the chat yet, you know? So, So now that we see it unfolding, you'd sort of like to have some, okay, now what's going to happen next? You know, it's a hell of a race as we've got, 2 weeks till the first game. They obviously know what they're doing. And yes, it was certainly a dramatic moment yesterday. I'm glad folks captured it for posterity.
Yeah, I'll say this. As much as you could get sentimental about it, again, not a nice press box by any stretch of the imagination, definitely dated. The badassness, for lack of a better term, of the demolition of anything, though, just it took the cake for me. That was really cool to see.
It was badass. Awesome. Well, what was amazing, too, though, is the, you know, you're waiting and you're waiting, it falls down, and then the cloud of dust is... You know, I'm sure those people knew to be wearing masks or something, because it would completely envelop everything. It was astonishing and badass, as you put it.
So the pictures from early in the day showed one guy up there working, and I love the ongoing jokes. Maybe they're at your expense, right, although I don't think you take that much offense to them. People are saying that you were trying to tab one more column up there in the old press box before it went down.
Yeah, I thought it was a compliment that people associate me with tapping out columns. There are people who've written more columns in that press box because they were there. You know, I bet I'm sure George Lapidus probably did, but I, you know, whatever. Yeah. Phil Stukenborg probably wrote more stories from there than I did. But you know, from 96, I didn't cover him full time last year because I'd sort of already transitioned. But from 96 until 2022, pretty consistently, 26 years of covering pretty much every home game. So, wrote a lot of columns in there. There's no question.
Ate a lot of Rendezvous ribs and also some Chick-fil-A sandwiches up there too, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was. I mean, when Rendezvous did it, that was just great. I was explaining to someone recently that one of the reasons that I'm a little trimmer than I was back in my full-time sports column writing days was in a press box. They have, you know, you walk in there and they used to have Rendezvous ribs and pork sandwiches and sausage and cheese plate. And then, by the way, they had popcorn and peanuts and hot dog on the rollers. And I mean, it's just like, and I'm not someone who can really easily pass up food. And then when you're writing on deadline, I don't know what other people like are working. I then eat because I'm nervous. And so it was a movable feast. There's no question. Now it got a little iffier, the choices. Later on, the Rendezvous, I think they, for whatever reason, they know the Rendezvous no longer did it, and we'd get other stuff. But it was quite something. And I think the most memorable, I mean, there's no question, we sort of have talked about this, but when Memphis defeated Tennessee, that was certainly a memorable game. And the SMU game day game was a memorable game. And Ole Miss in 2015 was an incredibly
I need one for my day.
Conference championship game, that was a memorable game. I'd say those that are the ones that sort of are seared most prominently in my brain. There were earlier ones. There was an incredibly disappointing game when I just missed out on a bowl because it was a last second loss. There were a lot of early struggles that were just crushing, and then there was, the Larry Porter era was totally dispiriting. But that just set up the glories that were to come. So it was fun, and I'm vaguely sad that I can't get in that elevator. And, hear it cranking along to take us up to the press box.
Were you getting scared you're going to get stuck every time you go up in it?
It was ridiculous. It was totally ridiculous. People got stuck all the time. And it was so slow, you know?
Yes.
And it was just terrible. It was absolutely the wrong way to greet, folks to Memphis. Was here, get on this creaky elevator and hope you get where you're going. Yeah. It was the wrong first impression.
Now, one game you didn't bring up was UCLA in 2017. Does that crack your top 10? Does that crack your top 10?
That was a great one. Well, honestly, I haven't listened to the top 10, but it was obviously a great one. What I remember from that one was, and by the way, it is a hell of an accomplishment that isn't the first one that comes to mind, right? Like,
no, of course not.
Beating UCLA at home is not one of the four when you rattle off. It's pretty impressive. Like, that's a damn impressive accomplishment to beat Josh Rosen and that team. But what I really remember from that game is how blasted hot it was and that they ran out of water. Like, they ran out of water for that game. They didn't have water to sell to fans anymore. You played in this game?
Was that the one you played? What I regret from that game is one thing that I never learned is early in the season, I never wore sunscreen. So I had the nastiest farmer's tan from about a quarter up my forearm all the way down my arm. I was getting the shivers later that night.
Now, Fuente recruited you, right?
Yeah,
but not Fuente's first game.
It was after
you
that
weren't
year.
Here for that?
It was after that year. So my first year would have been the 3-9 year, first year of the AAC. Or was it Big East still then? No, it was AAC.
Like that game.
It was the Big East for that 1 year, for 2013, right? Whatever. It was whatever.
I don't know.
Who cares?
I don't think they ever were.
Doesn't matter.
That game was a. I mean, in the end, you get a pass because it's your first year, but that game, which was Memphis was winning, UT Martin, hideous storm, you know, play suspended, and then Memphis comes back and loses to UT Martin. That was just brutal.
That's memorable. That's probably in your top 10 most memorable for bad reasons.
It's very memorable. And then there were games, I guess, really icy cold. Was it against Houston where they were like, it was on TV and there were about 300 people there. Like there's been some brutally bad games. You know, the Tony Pollard kickoff returns though for touchdowns. So they, you know,
yep.
Happened. There was one electric game at night where there was a Tony Pollard kickoff return for a touchdown.
I think it was Temple. Are you thinking Temple?
Maybe it was Temple.
We were struggling that game. I remember that game. We struggled very badly, and then he took one back to start the second half. I think.
A night game? Was it a night game?
It was a night game. Yeah. I think it was during the week, too. I don't think it was a Saturday.
Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah. So, I mean, I covered people getting married in the stands, you know. Now, the stadium's still there, so it's not like, the memories in that stadium. The stadium, at least in some form, is still going to be there. So I don't have to, you know, spend too much time marinating in the history of it all. But like you, I was impressed by and moved by yesterday's implosion.
All right, now Grizzlies schedule. Holler at me. What do you think? I think I'll give you my thoughts real quick. First 20 games, I think you're good, and then the rest of the schedule. What really pops out to me is just no. I think the NBA as a whole, especially the Western Conference, is just good or above average to where you just don't have gimmies. You don't have that many gimmies on your schedule.
Yeah. You focus on the normal stuff. You focus on where they're opening, and it's on the road. You're focusing on first home game. That's Orlando, right? You focused on Minnesota coming in for the MLK game on TNT. You focused on, you know, when the Lakers are coming early. We look at all these things. It is kind of amazing that here we are, and the glamour teams, the teams with the most national televised games and all of that, it's still LeBron and Steph,
yep.
You know, like they may be getting old, but it's still LeBron and Steph. And that's true as a Memphis fan. The games that are going to sell out instantly are the Lakers and the Warriors. Like that's still true. But then I was mostly focused on what you said earlier, which is what's the start look like? Because I think it is absolutely critical. I don't know. In the end, the season will be what the season will be. But given how everyone has written off the Grizzlies or forgotten about the Grizzlies, it seems to me to be incumbent to remind people that you are one of the elite teams in the West. And that, to me, involves getting off to a fast start. Also, with the new coaching staff and with people wanting to put Taylor Jenkins on the hot seat, even though he's not, another reason to get off to a fast start. And if you look at those first 20 games, there's a lot of, could win, could lose games. But the only elite teams they're playing in those first 20 games, you've got two against Denver,
mm-hmm.
You got two against Philly, and you got one against Milwaukee. Right.
Yep.
The rest of the other 15, the best you have to deal with is whatever. The Lakers, you got a road game against the Lakers. You got the Warriors. Like there's some teams certainly that you can lose to in there. But in terms of really elite teams, and I guess we're calling them elite. I mean, Denver, depending on what they look like, they've lost Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Jamal Murray wasn't very good in the Olympics. He wasn't very good before the Olympics. Like, who knows? But I'm counting them as an elite team. Philadelphia's obviously be reconstructed. I'll count them as an elite team. And Milwaukee, even as diminished as they seemed last year, I still think we can count them as an elite team. But I went through it. I did what you do. You do W's and L's, right?
Yep.
And I decided after 20, 14-6.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Is that,
I had them at 13-7. I was right there with you. I was close.
Yeah, well, they're both good. I would take 13-7.
Yeah.
If offered 13-7, I would take it. But I didn't even think I was being particularly aggressive in saying 14-6. So it's a nice, I think, pretty soft, reasonable start. And then away we go.
And then after that, you're going to have a road trip, games 32 to game 36, where it's just like, oh my gosh, longest road trip of the year, but it's Pelicans, Thunder, Suns, Kings, Warriors. That's as brutal as it gets. That's probably one of, I mean, if we go through everybody's schedule, that's probably one of the worst road trips.
Who is it? That's Pelicans?
It's Pelicans, Thunder, Suns, Kings, Warriors, all in a row.
Thunder, Suns.
On the road.
Kings, Warriors. Yeah, you know, toughest game there, Thunder.
Yeah, of course. But Pelicans, not going to be easy.
No, Pelicans, they're not going to roll over, but yeah, Suns not going to roll over.
Easiest game against the Kings, I guess.
Roll over. Warriors, not going to roll over. I'll take two. That's fine. I'll take 2 and 3 on that trip.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the amount of national TV games? Do you care at this point? Yeah, was it 8 or 9 on ESPN or TNT? 9, I think.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care. If people want to get indignant about stuff one way or another, I mean, it's pretty clear that in all sorts of ways, you know, if you look at Olympic projections for 4 years hence, if you look at, you know, all-star projections, if you look, like, whatever you look at, people have totally forgotten about the Grizzlies, right?
Yeah.
And so it doesn't, in the end, it is up to them to reassert themselves. And if they do, I'm not particularly worried about it. And then next year there will be many, many more games. But I don't think a little less attention is a bad thing for this team that is trying to find itself. And so, no, that's not something that I'm of a mind to get offended by.
And then one thing I think could be interesting about the schedule, and we'll see how it all plays out in the Western Conference, but the last three games of the year, home Minnesota, on the road against the Nuggets, and then you have at home against the Mavs. That could be some jockeying for position at the end of the year. Hopefully it is jockeying for position at the end of the year and everybody's playing.
Yeah, you never know. That, of course, depends on where you are and also where they are, right? So we don't know if they will have injuries.
Right.
We don't know who will have shown up what. Maybe, you know, maybe one of those two. So I don't mind getting some tough games really late. If some of your very toughest matchups are that late in the season, that's fine because you may be in a situation where if you really need that game, you know, they're resting their starters. So I don't. Yes, on the one hand, it could be super interesting. That would be great. And on the other hand, you know, maybe those are gimmies, and that would be great. You know, so I don't mind that at all.
Yep, I hear you. Now, I want to move on to the NFL, and I promise I'm not trying to poke at you. Matt Milano for the Bills, torn bicep, likely done for the it's indefinite. Maybe December is when he could come back.
Yeah. But it seems like if they're in the playoffs, he could, you know, whatever, late season, whatever. I've actually now, you know, whatever. I have now come to terms. This felt like a step back for the Bills season anyway, right? Like you're biting the bullet on Stephon Diggs' money. I'm convinced they're going to be, you know, if they get to 9 wins, that's what they're going to be. They're not. Here's the truth. So they lose Leonard Floyd, not that big a deal. Now they lose Matt Milano. They lose both their starting safeties, right? Because they got older, moved on from their two starting safeties. They don't really have many dynamic players, playmakers on defense. And Oliver is a dynamic playmaker. Greg Rousseau, maybe, if you want to count that, whatever. But they just do not have dynamic playmakers on defense. Milano was, you know, there's a reason they paid him, and then for 2 years in a row he's been injured. And then the real problem is that I don't think they're in a position to outscore people now because, you know, they don't have field stretchers, explosive chunk play guys on offense. Mm-hmm. And they almost seems like they intentionally did that. Like they drafted the big Keon Coleman, you know, whatever guy.
Sure.
That what you saw last year in the playoffs against the Chiefs where they were sort of, you know, trying to nickel and dime their way to a close victory. It seems like that's the new model that they have. And I don't, given that the defense I expect to be middle of the road, and I don't think they're going to be that explosive offensively, and they have a really tough schedule, I think you could be looking at 8 or 9 wins for that team and better draft pick and then spend some free agency money, hopefully get healthy and be back next year.
What's weird for me, though, is I think you're sort of dead on. Although Josh Allen, crazy things can happen. He could be unbelievable, he will be unbelievable, and they could be a nice playoff team, 10-11 wins. We never know. But what I just can't really come to grips with or really understand, because I don't think with a guy like Josh Allen, you ever take like a gap year. And I don't think the Bills organization, Brandon Bean, whoever it is at the top of the whole thing, I don't think they think of this as a gap year when you have a guy like Josh Allen. But the way they've acted this offseason since last year, bowing out in the playoffs, it just seems like a gap year. It seems like, all right, well, this year maybe we'll struggle a little bit. Next year we need to sign some free agents, make some moves, draft well, then we can be back where we want to be. But I don't think that's their mindset. You know what I mean?
It's interesting. So they don't use the phrase gap year. But if you're a close follower of the Bills, like I am, what you hear all the time from them is transition year, transition year, transition year, transition year, transition year. They know the challenges. And then if you look at their draft, they drafted all these high character guys to replace the leaders who are gone now, right? Because all the leaders have left the locker room too. Like that first generation of players who were really good around Josh, who, you know, have ruled the AFC East, they've kind of moved on. And so they do talk openly all the time about this being a transition year. Now, is that the same as a gap year? They don't say it, because I think you're right. You can't say, if you have Josh Allen, that we're taking a gap year. But it seems to me when they say transition year, what they really mean is this may turn out to be a gap year. You know, sure, we hope it isn't, but the financial realities are the financial realities. And when you have that much dead money, your hands are tied, and maybe you do have to take a deep breath. And, we've seen other clubs do that. Now, the Rams did it after they won a Super Bowl. Easier to take a gap year after you won a Super Bowl, right? The problem is for the Bills, they didn't win a Super Bowl before they did it. But I do think this feels a little bit like a gap year for them.
Now, also in the NFL, we have the Falcons really strengthening their position in the NFC. Get Matt Judon from the Patriots. I know he's 32 years old, and we're going to have to deal with a contract, and we'll see if the Falcons do that. But he is a really good edge rusher, one of the more underrated edge rushers. I think he was fourth in pass rush win rate behind Joey Bosa, Micah Parsons, and Nick Bosa. So that's pretty good company to keep. And then they ended up signing Justin Simmons. Like, how good do you think that team is?
Well, I like what they're doing, right? I mean, you look at that division, and, you know, the Bucs squeaked in last year. Now the Bucs have a first place schedule, right? So they obviously decided, you know, they go get a quarterback, and it is interesting when you, I don't think anyone takes Atlanta seriously as a Super Bowl contender, but I do think they think, all right, fine, they can get back in the playoffs. And when you've been out of the playoffs, just being good again, you know, people in Dallas are unhappy that Dallas has just been good because they haven't done more than that, right? When you've sucked, good starts to look pretty attractive.
Yes.
And you give up a third-round pick for a 32-year-old Matt Judon because you want to be relevant again. You want to be back in the playoffs again. And I think that's what they've done. They were the last, you know, few years easily last in the league in sacks. I think the closest team, just ahead of them were the Raiders, and it wasn't very close, so they haven't put pressure on the opposing quarterback, and now they aim to do that, you know. And so I like what they did. And by contrast, it's pretty clear that the Pats are tanking. You know, the Pats know that the Pats are looking at the AFC East, and they're like, damn, Bills are still there. Dolphins are there. Jets may be back. We'll just stink for a little while. We'll collect some additional assets. It doesn't matter if we can't rest the passer. The only player they had on their roster last year who had more than five sacks was Christian Barmore, and he's out with blood clots.
Yes,
like they're not, and then they just give up Matt Judon. But he's 32.
Right.
He's not going to be good for them when they are good again. So it was time.
Were you as confused as I was with some of the reaction to the Patriots? I think Kyle Brandt from NFL Network sort of put out, he's like, you trade your best player. Going into the, it's like, yeah, he's your best player, but he's 32 years old. He's not going to affect winning in a massive way. You're still going to be one of the worst, probably the worst team in the NFL. Like, who cares That was my response to the whole thing.
Yeah,
and I saw a lot
completely.
Of Patriots fans, and I get Patriots fans maybe a little bit emotional, but I saw some real like NFL analysts like going after the Patriots for this move, and it's just like, why? It doesn't make
a
difference.
Cats fan, I'm thrilled. I'm like, okay, good. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're going to stink for a couple of years, and then we're going to be back in a vengeance. And the only person who I think should be upset with this, who cares deeply about the Patriots or whatever, would be Gerard Mayo. You know,
yeah.
Like, Gerard Mayo is the head coach, and if he doesn't win, it may be that he will be the head coach for a year or two while they stink, and then they get the real head coach.
Yep.
So I can see why he would be unhappy with it, but I don't understand why anyone else would think this is a bad move for the Pats.
Yeah, it makes sense. It doesn't make any sense. But I will say, I think the Patriots fans from most that I see, I mean, from what I look at, it just seems like they're relatively realistic about the new
totally
situation.
Totally get it. Yeah, 100%. They totally get it. And, it's nice when you have the soft pillow that is all those Super Bowl championships to lay your head on.
Yeah,
while
six
you wait
of them.
Team
yeah, that's
get,
pretty
get,
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Jeff, I appreciate it, man. We'll do it again soon.
See you.
That's Jeff Calkins. That's Jeff_Calkins on X. He is Daily Memphian columnist. Also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM. ESPN. Now we need to go ahead and grab a break. I'll give you an update on the FedEx St. Jude Championship as it looks like everybody is in for the day. And we'll have more of the Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Everybody is in to the clubhouse at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. And the leaderboard is as follows. Chris Kirk still at the top at 6 under, done for the day. Taylor Pendrith, Matthew Pavon, and Hideki Matsuyama right behind him at 5 under. Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, Denny McCarthy, Scotty Scheffler, Xander Schauffele all tied at 5th. Justin Thomas not far behind at 3 under. A notable name that we're watching, Victor Hovland. He has to make the cut for the BMW Championship, getting into the top 50. He did not have a great day. He was even on the day. He's tied for 44th, so he's going to have to make a nice little rush for the rest of the tournament. A couple of more notable names, Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa at 2 under, tied for 18th. Wyndham Clark also right there at 2 under, but it should be nice. And they have good conditions, it seems like, coming up over the weekend. We looked at the idea for the forecast. It doesn't look like there's much coming up this weekend. Even that chance for rain that we were supposedly supposed to have on Saturday has dissipated. So it looks like they will have really good conditions. It'll just be blistering hot. And will they be able to get through the tournament, feel comfortable by the time we get to Sunday?
Man, I walked outside today because we've had, a stretch here of kind of more mild weather during the summer than we usually have. And I got punched in the face by the heat.
Yeah.
It was just brutal.
Yeah. I have flashbacks to like fall camp and everything. Every time I step outside in the city of Memphis, that's how I feel.
I just walked outside and started cussing.
Really?
That's my only natural response to heat like this.
Now, I want to bring up a story that just came across our timelines today about ESPN. They're getting to the end of their fiscal year, so they made some cuts. They ended up firing a couple of people. One was Sam Ponder, and the other, Robert Griffin III. He had 2 years left on his deal. This one surprises the hell out of me. He's really good on social media. He gets a lot of attraction. He definitely brings a lot of people into the conversations that he's having. He was just at the Olympics. This guy had 2 years left on his deal. He's on Monday Night Football on Monday Night Countdown. I am surprised they made this decision. Sam Ponder, it is what it is. I don't want to see her fired by any stretch of the imagination, but it doesn't surprise me. Robert Griffin III, seeing that he got fired with 2 years left on his deal, with how much they ask him to do on a daily basis, that blew me away.
I didn't expect it. You know, I understand that some people aren't huge fans of Robert Griffin III, but I always thought he was pretty good, and he makes fun of himself. He feels like one of the few personalities that understands.
He's overly corny, but he seems genuine corny.
Sure, yeah. There's a genuine, yeah. It's like, I don't know why they fired him, to be honest.
It is kind of wild to see like the reaction to like Sam Ponder getting fired, because she spoke up against Leah Thomas, the transgender woman who swam in the SEC. You see the response from a lot of right wingers saying, of course they fired her. But also on the other side, Robert Griffin III just got done with a massive campaigning for Omani Khalif, who won the gold medal in boxing at the Olympics, because, people were talking about her having XY chromosomes and her not being a woman and her being a transgender woman, which was false. Like, you saw people on both sides of this argument get fired. So I see, a lot of people being up in arms about Sam Ponder. But on the other side, Robert Griffin the third got fired and he bucks against that entire trend. I found it strange, the conversation that was being had out there and on the social media world.
I don't think it has anything to do with
it. And that's nothing to do with it. If you go look at Andrew Marchand, the senior writer covering sports media.
Honest, we know why they got fired.
Their budget moves.
They're giving Stephen A. Smith a raise, so they have to find more money. That is what's happening.
Their budget
moves. It's as
simple
as that.
They literally have to try to get more money. Right? It's not that hard to understand. I don't think it has anything to do with any politics.
Right.
I don't think it has anything. It just, they fired some people because they're on a money crunch and they have to decide who they're going to pay and who they don't want to pay, and they don't want to pay Sam Bonder and Robert Griffin III. I'd imagine both of those people end up where they want to be. They'll be in a good spot. Right? I don't think they're both talented enough. They're both very good at what they do. They will get a spot somewhere else.
Agreed.
And I think that they can both be independent as well. We see that a lot now today.
But then you have Mad Dog today on ESPN screaming about Team USA and how it wasn't impressive and stuff. And it's just like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
How much do they pay Mad Dog? Because he's not every day, is he? That's my question. How much do they pay him per year?
Let's find out.
That was a Stephen A. Smith idea. It was Stephen A. Smith getting what he wanted.
Mad Dog Russo on Howard Stern in 2022 said he gets $10,000 per show. He does over 40 weeks. So a lot.
That's nice work if you can get it. Nice work if you can get it.
Good work.
Yeah.
Again,
I think we keep going down this rabbit hole. And I don't know if the Robert Griffin III or Sam Ponder, maybe Sam Ponder more so than Robert Griffin III. We keep going down this rabbit hole of like, we're devolving as a sports talk society. And people that do the good work and sort of give you the facts, understand what their job is, they seem to be getting let go, and they get hot take people in there. That's what it is. Just want to drive engagement on social media, which, again, going back to the Robert Griffin III firing, I don't get that. Like, right now, when we look at ESPN, he's up there on social media. When we talk about engagement with the content that he puts out, whether it's TikTok or Instagram or Twitter or X, whatever you call it, he's probably up there on ESPN.
Do you see his tweet today?
He said, how do you get,
I got fired on your day
Friday. How the hell you get fired on your day off?
Very good.
Yes. Yes. Now, on some Memphis basketball news, I got to be honest with you. Ask me, do I really care about this news? Ask me.
Do you care about this news?
Not really. Daniel Vieira Tuck, who was supposedly going to sign with Memphis, he ended up signing with Diamond Doves of Overtime Elite. He will not be opening up his recruitment, though. He'll stay committed to Memphis while doing his 1 year at Overtime Elite.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, Penny, basically. And it's not a guy who was going to play a massive role.
Right.
By any stretch of the imagination. But Penny basically said it's not... I'm paraphrasing here, but it's not a goodbye, but a see you later.
Right.
Right? That's what it is. And when we talk about guys that are actually going to make a difference on this roster, sure, I may care about drops if you say, if P.J. Haggerty was going to go play at Overtime Elite, I would really give some thought to this. I would really give you a breakdown, some analysis. But Daniel Vieira Tuck's not moving the needle for me. Sorry. Just not going to do it. I don't seem to care that much. Do you? Do you, Connor?
No. No. And it's no offense to him. It's just, you just broke it down perfectly. It's like he wasn't going to have a massive impact on that team next year.
Yep. Yep.
Or this year.
Well, yeah, this year. This year. I wonder going into the future. He's not young, but he's not young by any stretch of the imagination. You think he's about to be 20, 21? So I guess he'll join the team next year at 21 years old? Okay. All right. I'm not gonna lose any sleep over it. USA Gymnastics, we have the Jordan Chiles thing ongoing. USA Gymnastics, after the CAS, the arbitration, arm of the Olympics, took away her bronze medal and said that they're not going to reconsider. USA Gymnastics put out a statement today, and it is it's very serious. Looks like the CAS and the Olympics are going to figure out how the USA does litigation. But they say USA Gymnastics strongly disagrees with the Court of Arbitration for Sports. Detailed decision released today. As noted in the decision, USA Gymnastics did not become aware of the case until August 9th, 3 days after it was filed, 2 days past the deadline to submit objections related to panelists, and less than 24 hours before the hearing. missing. This was due to CAS sending case filings to incorrect email addresses. They sent it to the wrong emails. I wonder if they did that purposefully. Further, CAS did not send the conflict of interest disclosures of any panelists to USA Gymnastics, and then USA Gymnastics went on to say, "We will pursue these and other matters upon the appeal as we continue to seek justice for Jordan Chiles." I don't know if is justice the right word for this.
Sure.
Okay. But they're going to go to court with the CAS and the Olympics to try to get it back. It is still the most arbitrary, ridiculous decision. What this came down to, if you have not been following along with this story, Jordan Chiles went from fifth to third after an appeal was put in to get her score raised in the floor exercise of the women's gymnastics during the Olympics. She ends up getting the bronze medal, goes from fifth to third, and the CAS comes after. It was when the Olympics were ending.
I think it was like 5 days later.
It was later. But they said that the USA Gymnastics coach did not put in the appeal until after the 1 minute allotted time. They said they put it in at 1:04, 4 seconds after the 1 minute allotted time. That's silly in itself. But then the USA Gymnastics basically put in video evidence to show the CAS, "We put in an appeal at 47, you can see it on the video, and we also doubled down on it at 55 seconds in that 1 minute allotted period." So this seems like, I don't know how these things work. I'm not a lawyer by any stretch of the imagination, but it feels like the USA Gymnastics has a really strong case. And the other part of this that I just can't get over, if you were going to up her score anyway, and you screwed up the scoring on the first go-around, I think you should be held accountable and we should stand by what was scored that day. What's the big deal? What's the problem here? It just feels like a little bit of hating on Jordan Chiles and the United States gymnastics team. That's what it is.
I just don't understand. I have not heard a real reason for why they are taking away the bronze medal when it sounds like USA Gymnastics did literally everything they were supposed to do. She got the score corrected as it was supposed to be. So why are they taking away the medal? It also bothers me that the other countries agreed to just split the medal different ways. And they were like, "No, we're not going to do that. We're actually going to take it away from her and give it to her." It's like, well, if everybody agreed to just split the bronze medals, which we have seen happen with medals before, why didn't we just move forward with that to where every single woman.
We've seen it before, by the way.
We've seen it before. It's not like some unprecedented thing. To me, it's just, this is very bothersome. I don't understand why they're making it such a big deal when it's very clear that Team USA did everything they were supposed to do. They screwed up, and somehow Jordan Chiles has to take the brunt of it.
Like, I really, because to be honest with you, this is not about some arbitrary rule of a minute. After the fact, you have to put in your appeal for the score. This is not about that.
Stupid rule, by the way.
Yeah, stupid rule. But this is not about that because they put in the appeal in the
right.
minute allotted time.
Twice.
Via video evidence.
Two times.
This is not about that. So, like, I want some truth serum from the people at the top of the CAS to tell me why this is being done. What is your big issue here? Does it have to do with the United States just being so dominant in women's gymnastics and it getting changed? You saw Anna Barbosu from Romania, who ultimately is the bronze medal winner at this particular moment. You saw her crying, so you felt a certain type of way. You got emotional about it. I want some truth serum injected into these people to tell me why Jordan Chiles is being treated this way. Why USA Gymnastics has to go through this. Why we have to go to court over something so stupid. Over 4 seconds. Over 4 seconds of time. It's ridiculous. Now, final thing before we go ahead and get into small talk. Charles Barkley has announced that he will stick with TNT. But he did have a bunch of other offers on the table. But he's going to stick with TNT. He said on a recent front office sports article that he's leaving, potentially. With staying loyal to TNT, he's leaving potentially $100 million on the table. That doesn't surprise me in the slightest, but I thought Charles Barkley was about his money, man. Why are you leaving $100 million on the table? Is it about a work schedule? Is it about stepping out of the way for the new age of someone to get into those seats? Why are you leaving $100 million on the table?
He said, do you have the answer? Or are you asking me?
I'm asking you.
Oh, okay. I saw part that it got clipped. He said that he is staying so that people can keep their jobs.
Yeah.
Which makes sense to me. That seems like a Charles Barkley type of move where he's like, if I left, it would have hurt other people and it would have taken away their job. So I think it sounds like he's leaving money on the table to stay there for a little bit,
but
so that these people can at least have a job.
I saw that, but I sort of it went in one ear, out the other, because 25, 26, you're not going to have your NBA programming.
Maybe, unless the idea of it.
Unless they just keep it going without games?
Well, unless the idea of it is we are going to build a sports show around Charles Barkley, and we are going to keep the same crew.
Inside the NBA?
Maybe. That might be the idea of it.
All the staffers.
Right. But so for now, I think that's an acceptable answer. We'll have to see as time goes on.
My big question, though, and this is going to be an ongoing question until we see actually how it plays out. Can it stand alone without an NBA game? Without, like, Kenny running to the board and racing Shaq up there? Like, can it stand alone without a game attached to it? Or games attached to it?
If they are able to have highlights, maybe. I don't know. I'm curious if it gets transitioned into being, like, a Max show. Like, it's on HBO Max. You do it once a week. Maybe they do.
But the large part of the appeal is it's live. It's reaction.
Yeah.
It's all that. I don't know if it would hit the same on Max. I don't think people are going to tune into that the same way. Like, the big part of the appeal is it was always just going to be there because you're watching games on TNT.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I'm not saying that you're going to have the same success. You just asked me where it's going to go.
Right.
That's probably where it's going to go.
I've seen some people say they think it can stand alone. I have my serious doubts about that.
It would have to be different. It's definitely going to have to be different. I don't, you know, if you have those guys together, people are going to watch. They'll watch. I would watch once a week. It's better than anything ESPN's putting out there. It's better than anything Fox is putting out there.
But the thought of going out of your way.
Is it really out of your way? I hit a button. I hit a button and it pops up. It's not really that. It's the same. Here's what I'll say. It's the same place I watch TNT games. I'm going to the same place.
With all the other options. I don't know, man. With all the other options you have to watch on these streamers, you know, a show, recorded show every week, going on to Max for it, I don't think it's not the same appeal. It's
no,
not,
but
it's
that's
not
why it'd
what
be different.
That show was. Listen, I am for them staying around and them still being together, and I like the thought of Charles Barkley trying to keep all the other staffers on board, not wanting them to get let go because he decides to move on from TNT. But I just don't see that show having near the same appeal, being able to stand alone. I just don't see that being
I think
the case.
It will have success, but it won't be the monster that it is now.
Yeah, it will. For sure. I
don't think it's out of the way. It's the same. I will be going to quite literally the same place to watch the games. Like, it's the same app that I open to watch TNT games. I will be just now, if it is a once-a-week show. Right there.
I got you. Now, let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two with Small Talk right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now let's get into, you know, a conversation here about the game of football at the high school level. I think when you're a football coach, whether you're high school, college, the whole thing, I think you should breathe confidence, right? You should definitely try to give your players confidence going into a season. Whether the matchup, you know, I played against UCLA, played against Ole Miss, played against, UCLA when they had all those really good players. We went to the Rose Bowl for the first time. Like, you feel like you're an underdog sometimes. But know what your coach tells you? Don't be surprised when you're in the game. We expect to win this game. We're going to go make things happen. I don't care what type of talent they have. I don't care if they have 15 first-round draft picks. We can go win this game. Just use your heart. You have more heart than them. Make something happen. But there are certain situations where you have to be real with yourself. And Vestavia Hills head coach Robert Evans was very real with the media about facing the Power 5 talent that he's going to have to see against Carver Montgomery in the state of Alabama. Here's what he had to say, refreshingly open and honest.
This guy's going to Alabama, this one's going to Florida, this one's going to Texas A&M, this one has 20 offers, and we got a bunch of pie caps and Fijis. They're going to be tackling the guys that they're going to be cheering for in a year.
That's beautiful. I think you should always breathe confidence into your players, but sometimes you have to be honest with yourself. We have a bunch of frat boys going against guys with 20 offers on the other side.
Future,
it's not going to be going well for
future
us.
Intramural all-stars.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. I was one. It's fun.
Dare I say, some Connor Dunnings. Some Connor Dunnings.
Some glue guys.
Some Connor Dunnings on the other side. They got some heart.
Oh, yeah. I was all over the Lambda Chi Sports back
then. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the day.
Did you ever play football? You never played football?
Oh, growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I was pretty good. But okay. Then everybody got bigger. I was a running back.
Really?
I was one of the faster kids, okay. So I would just hit a corner and be gone.
So what would this?
I stopped playing in middle school.
Okay,
fifth grade, sixth grade, whatever the last year CYAA was before you had to play for the middle school team. I was like, I'll never forget. It's the story goes. A good friend of mine, he had his femur bone broken on top of me in a pile, and I was like, I'm good. I was like, I am good. The amount of kids who quit after that incident was crazy. It is a stuff of legend back in CYAA days. Yeah, I was really good until everybody got bigger, and I was like, nah, I'm out.
Femur
snapped on top of me. Felt it. One of the most horrifying moments of my life.
Have you kept up with said kid?
Yeah, ended up playing baseball with him because I transitioned and
is
I ended
he
up
okay?
Playing.
I mean,
oh, he's fine.
Okay,
no, he's right. Great. He's doing great now. He's married now. He's a good friend. Shout out Brian Waldrop.
A femur being broken at that age
super not
usually
fun.
Does not go well.
No, it was horrific. It was terrifying. It's probably the worst injury I've ever seen happen, and it was on top of me. You heard it? Oh my god, I can't. Yeah, no, that's when I hung up the cleats and I started playing baseball.
Yeah, I've seen some horrific injuries, though, in my day.
My competitive baseball career started that moment.
I can say that. One time, have I ever told you the story about this pinky right here?
You have not.
One time, it was in pre-practice, believe it or not. I'm playing center, hitting the bag, first time really playing center. So I do my little, I snap it, put my right hand out there, and I accidentally hit into the bag.
Ooh.
I snap this finger in half.
Ooh.
And get this. Know what they did? It was at a 90-degree angle, like this. And obviously people can't see me, so they don't know. But it was at a 90-degree angle. It was my pinky. What they did, I'm thinking, okay, if this is high school, I'm getting out for the rest of the day of practice. They're not going to put me back out there on the field. But since I was trying to earn a spot in that spring, all they did, they straightened it back out, hurt like hell, put a little plastic splint on it, and I was back at practice same day.
No, thank you. Yeah, I was not built for football. I was in the I don't want to get hit. I was like, I'm good.
That's a big part of football.
I'm good. you know what? I'm just good, man.
You have to accept it. You have to accept the contact.
I didn't have my growth spurt to 5'10 until I was like in high school, like sophomore, junior year, so I was just too small.
Yeah.
Not for me.
And running back, you don't have the traditional running back build.
I would hit an MF-er, though. I'd hit an MF-er. I would go through your chest. When everybody was the same size, you better watch out, bro.
Was this one of those leagues where they, like...
It was CYAA. It was everybody.
I remember growing up, I couldn't play early. I couldn't play until my fifth grade year because I was 100 pounds. I was over 100 pounds. And even when I couldn't run the ball, they put orange stripes on my helmet. Was this one of those things?
No. It was like, I think that you started, I believe my first season was in third grade, second or third grade, and then I was done by fifth. I was like, it was like 4 years of glory. This isn't a joke. I'm not kidding. And I know I'm bragging about CYAA football right now. I was the first pick. I was the number one pick. You better. What's up?
Recognize.
Put it in my bio on Twitter.
Yeah. Third hour's on the way. And I will be talking to a guy who did play high-level football. He was a four-year starter at Jacksonville State. Yeah, so Kyron Samuels will join next. We'll talk some college football right here on Gabe Kuncho, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Genesis Diamonds' most extreme value on diamonds is coming to an end. You have until Sunday at 5 p.m. to get the price of a lifetime on a certified GIA diamond ring.
Response has been incredible. People have driven for hours to buy like a dealer buys. All GIA certified diamond rings are on sale. A full 20% discount off Genesis' amazing everyday value price.
We're talking values you never thought possible. From a half carat to 20 carat diamonds. All hand-picked for maximum brilliance and all graded by the most prestigious gem lab in the world.
Don't be surprised to see jewelry store owners and diamond dealers shopping alongside you.
Genesis has the largest GIA diamond selection you've ever seen. Rounds, ovals, radiance, cushion cuts, pear shapes, emerald cuts, princess cuts.
And now through Sunday, you can take advantage of this rare buying opportunity. Limit one per customer, please.
Get the Genesis no middleman direct importer price minus an extra 20% on all GIA diamond engagement rings. Now through Sunday only at Genesis Diamonds on Poplar and Perkins Extended. See store for details.
Are you looking for a savings account that pays a great rate with no requirements or restrictions? At Leaders Credit Union, you can accelerate your growth with Forward Plus High Yield Savings. No minimums, no balance tiers, just a great rate, currently at 4.25% APY. Keep your money accessible while earning more with Forward Plus from Leaders. Open yours today at leaderscu.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
Ready to take your business to the next level? In today's fast-paced marketing world, staying ahead isn't just an option, it's essential. That's where Scale Marketing comes in. We don't just help you compete, we make sure you win. Whether you're looking to grow, expand, or overcome stagnation, Scale Marketing is your performance marketing partner. We specialize in helping mid-sized B2C companies with teams of over 100 thrive. Scale Marketing is a full-service agency offering expertise in performance marketing across traditional and digital platforms, creative production, and data analytics. We treat your money like...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.